TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
And welcome into an exciting new Score North venture. That's right. If you are watching this, the man that you can see is the man that you clamor for more of, and now we're going to get. It is time for the beginning, episode one, as Dukes likes to say, a bonus scoop on the Mackie and Judd feed with my good friend, longtime friend, I've known him forever, Darren Doogie Wolfson. Darren, this is what we needed. This is what the people wanted. We're giving it to them. More scoopage, more conversation.
Hello, Judd. Hello, Declan. I'd like to know, Judd, who the we is. I mean, is that my wife? Is that my kids? Is that my mom?
Don't be shy.
It was a lengthy negotiation. You had to twist the arm of my agent. It was hard.
CAA.
You know, Phil Mackey bought me some wings, I think, at JJ's. That was what put it over the top. We went to JJ's a couple weeks ago. It was about a two-minute negotiation. He said, hey,
hold on a second.
Let's do something on Tuesdays in addition to Thursdays. I said, I'm in. I love the sound of my own voice. Let's do it.
Hold on a second here. Wait. Let's back up. You went to JJ's and got wings?
We went to JJ's. We got wings.
Hold on.
We got nachos.
Okay, I'm checking.
Oh, yeah, no, it was.
I'm checking my phone. Let's see. Phil and Doogie, two of my dear friends. Let's see. I must have misplaced the text inviting me to a bar that's right near my house. Oh, no, I didn't. I just got stiffed.
We figured you were at Bunny's, Judd. We should have extended the invitation. That's our bad. I'll blame Phil. He was more the organizer, although I think I initiated.
Thanks to
the night
of you.
I said, hey, let's do this Thursday night.
Yeah.
So I think I had a little to do with it. I'm trying to get off the hook here a little bit, but sincere apologies. But guess what?
Well,
you and I can have plenty of time to bond at JJ's. It'll be a while until Phil and I can bond again.
Glad to have you here, Dukes. So it's your show. Where would you like to start?
Well, I mean, I just got off a Zoom call with Gophers head coach Richard Pitino. I will give him credit, Judd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the collective media, it was Marcus Fuller, it was Dave Campbell, it was Andy Grater, it was Daniel House, it was Jeff Wald from Channel 9, and me. So it was just us, five or six lobbing Pitino questions.
Okay.
I was the only one to ask any questions about his job status, which to me is the number one talker right now. Like, you can talk all you want about the Big Ten tournament, Marcus Carr making second team all Big Ten, third team coaches, second team media. Yes, I'm curious whether Liam Robbins and Gabe Kauscher can play tomorrow against Northwestern per Pitino. I think he was telling us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Unlikely on both accounts. Now, maybe if they make a run, maybe one or both could come back if they play, say, Saturday, which is highly unlikely. But in terms of the game tomorrow against Northwestern, it doesn't look like either will play. So I get all that. There is some curiosity with some other talking points. But make no mistake, the number one headline with Gopher men's basketball right now is the future of Richard Pitino. So I will give him credit because this is not the first time in these Zoom settings that I lobbed him questions about his job status. I started a couple weeks ago. My colleague Joe Schmidt lobbed him questions. Nobody else wanted to, which is fine. But to me, like, that's what people are curious about. And I'll give Richard credit. He was incredibly transparent, talked about how difficult it is right now. Mentioned that to him, nothing out of the ordinary took place post-game Saturday, but I was told, Judd, his wife was there, his kids were there. That's not out of the ordinary, but that they took a little extra time. They walked around the arena.
I saw that, yeah.
I had somebody, yeah, that said, hey, it seemingly had the feel of we're saying goodbye to the barn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if Pitino was guaranteed a ninth year, if his wife, if his kids, if him, if they would have taken that same walk post-game on Saturday.
So what is the process now? They you know, win or lose against Northwestern, they're obviously probably going to be out pretty quick. When do you think Coyle pulls the plug on Pitino? And then I guess most importantly, how does the process play out from there?
Well, I mean, I think there's work already happening behind the scenes. I think it's been going on for a little while now. I think it happens fast, Judd. Like, if they lose tomorrow, I wouldn't be shocked if in our inbox on Thursday morning there is a press release. And if they win tomorrow, play Thursday, I think it'll be really hard to beat Ohio State on Thursday. I think they can win tomorrow. against Northwestern, but I don't like their chances Thursday against Ohio State. So if they lose that game on Thursday, maybe it's not like Thursday at 8 p.m. Maybe it's more like Friday morning, 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. But I think it happens pretty darn fast.
And then as far as that goes, what's the next step then? Because we've heard all the names. In fact, I think Shooter in Sunday Spiner Press ran through every possible permeation and name of potential coaching candidates with guys still playing, with teams still in the tournament, blah, blah, blah. How quickly can Coyle proceed there to try and fill that job? And because he's so private, Doogie, what's your personal opinion about where he's at? Do you think he's got a definite choice basically done by now? Do you think that there's, two or three candidates? What do you think Coyle is going through? Because I will say, and there's probably good and bad to this, when it comes to Coyle, we don't know much at all ever on how he thinks. Like, we can guess, but there is no open book. There aren't many leaks. It is remarkable that an AD at a Division I school is able to keep things this quiet.
I agree. Completely different from the Norwood Teague, Ellis era, right? I mean, those guys were open book. So, yeah, it's more challenging for reporters like you and me to unearth information. I mean, he's ninja-like. He's stealth-like, but he knows how to hire head coaches. I think he ends up, even if he has a definitive number one candidate right now, and I think he does, Judd. I really do. We can go more in-depth on this, but the buzz the last 24 hours is Jim Dutcher's kid. It's Brian Dutcher.
Okay.
But like, even going back to the football search a few years ago, when a lot of us thought, okay, PJ Fleck, slam dunk, he ended up talking right to Les Miles. Imagine if he had hired Les Miles with that fallout from his days in LSU, now that Kansas fired Miles. So I think you end up doing your due diligence. Like, if he ends up talking to Sam Mitchell, that would not surprise me. Maybe another candidate or two, but I think in his mind, he has a clear cut number one. But you're right. Like, okay, let's keep playing the Dutcher game. San Diego State is pretty good. Yeah. I don't think they'll be as high as a 4 or a 5 seed, but like, they could get to the Sweet 16. They probably will have to pull off an upset in the round of 32, but they are certainly capable of winning multiple NCAA tournament games. So then the process plays out to some extent. I'll be curious to see if Coyle ends up hiring a search firm just to do some vetting. Coyle has his list. He doesn't per se need a search firm to help him with names. He has the names.
Yep.
But oftentimes it's easier for a search firm to do a lot of the vetting. So I'll be curious to see if they end up spending the money, because normally that's a six-figure payment.
I was going to say,
that's a tough sell, Dukes. Doesn't have a whole lot of money, right?
That's a real tough sell right now.
Yeah. It is, but I'm telling you, like, there's a few people in the game, Judd, and the purpose of this podcast, this conversation is the scoop. I mean, I can show you the text messages. I can show you. I won't show everybody here on this video feed. But
hold them up to the camera.
There are very smart people. Now, it's not Mark Coyle. I'll tell you that. Mark doesn't text me back.
Yep.
Actually, one time he did, but he doesn't really text me back. So it's not Mark. So, you're sifting through second hand a little bit, maybe even third hand, but there is a good amount of Brian Dutcher steam, I'm telling you, going back to Monday morning.
Does Brian Dutcher excite the fan base? Like, does Brian Dutcher sell any tickets? Because the one thing post-pandemic in this town, across the board too, aside from the Vikings probably, Doogie, is this is not a big market. It's got an incredible amount of really upper echelon sports competition. And so I'm curious, does Dutcher at least get people re-engaged potentially with Gopher basketball?
Well, I don't know if he sells tickets quite like maybe an Eric Musselman would, or maybe a Ryan Saunders, but this is still a pro market. You know that, Judd.
Sure.
So I don't think people are desperate to be buying Gopher men's basketball season tickets or even on a game-by-game basis. I love the barn. I think you love the barn. I think Declan, to some extent, loves the barn. But there are a lot of people who want nothing to do with watching a game in old Williams Arena. That there's way more appeal to going, if you're a casual fan, to a game at the X. Or maybe even renovated Target Center. Certainly not old Williams Arena. But yeah, do I think the name Dutcher resonates enough? It's an older fan base. I mean, you look around going back 2 years ago when fans were allowed in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And heck, my father-in-law in his mid-70s just gave up his season tickets, but he had season tickets fifth row center court. He gave Drew and I his tickets for a couple games per season. So I sat there among all the fans. Trust me, I was one of the younger people. Like if you went three rows down, yeah. three rows up,
yep.
like a lot of gray hair, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just, it's an older fan base. It just is. But do I think Dutcher could sell some tickets? I do. Like he's won at a high level at San Diego State. Heck, they were a one seed a year ago. Before things shut down, that's when they were able to play a normal non-conference schedule. They beat Iowa. They beat Utah. They beat Creighton. So they had some resume wins in addition to having an unbelievable run in the Mountain West. They weren't able to have that sort of non-conference schedule in this, you know, coronavirus year. So that's why their resume isn't as strong. And I get it. Like, my personal opinion, Judd, is San Diego State is a better job than Minnesota. Like, if I'm Dutcher, I'm not leaving San Diego State, but I get it from this standpoint. You ready for this?
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm ready for a move like this to happen because myriad reasons. But I heard that dad's not doing well health-wise. You know, so if he's back here, he's closer to Jim, his dad.
Yep.
He went to school here.
Yep.
His wife went to school here.
Yeah.
The budget would be considerably bigger. Like they don't even fly charter for every game at San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
He would make more money. Do I think he would make significantly more money? No. But like even in a few years, you know, if he stayed at San Diego State, he would get to with incentives around 1.5, maybe 1.6. Like instantly, he'll at least be at that.
Yep.
Once he, you know, if he ends up signing a contract to be the Gophers coach. He's what, 61 years old. So it's now or never. To me, the key would be he hasn't recruited Minnesota for decades. Like the last time he really recruited Minnesota would have been when he was at Michigan. He would need to hire the right staff. Even with that name resonating here in Minnesota,
right.
I'm not quite sure it resonates with Trey Holloman at Creighton Durham Hall or yep. Prince Olegbe at Minnehaha Academy or any number of really good players in the 2022 and 2023 classes. Like right now,
mm-hmm.
between those two classes, the junior high school class here in Minnesota and the sophomore class, the Gophers have 10 scholarship offers out. Now, are all 10 committable offers? We can debate that. But there are 10 players between wow. those two classes that the current coaching staff believes are worthy of a Gophers scholarship offer. That's rich. Like, the 2022 class has a chance to go down in history as one of, if not the best, high school class the state of Minnesota has produced in a really, really long time. So that's another reason why you get a new coach in here so he can hit the ground running, even with the dead period, because there are limitations right now in terms of recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
But you get that new coach in here, even if he can only do Zoom calls and text messages and phone calls, you get the new coach in here to hit the ground running with the 2022 class.
Doogie, this is why what you just said is why it is so pathetic and sad right now, the state of the Wolves and Gophers being so bad. In our lifetimes, both of us, really, this has gone from being a non-basketball state as far as talent goes, right? Like, there was some talent here, but guys like Jim Pete, right? Or Brewer. But it was a one or two guys. Now it's multiple kids in classes who aren't just good. They are outstanding players. And that's why I think it's so sad that the state of the two top men's teams in this town are so bad. Because there's just a huge collection of basketball fans, of basketball lovers who want to embrace this thing. And my question to them is, what do you have to embrace? You know, I mean, the Wolves are a complete joke. The Gophers have fallen off the map, which is sad. And as a hockey guy, I will tell you this. This town, it can be an unbelievable basketball town. But you got to give them at least a morsel of something from the men's teams that they can embrace here.
It can change fast, though. I mean, I don't disagree with everything you just laid out, Judd. But basketball is that sport where you hit on, in the case of college, one or two money recruits. It can change fast. In the case of the Wolves, hey, if they somehow hit on that 40% chance, land a top three pick in the summer, end up with, let's say, Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State or even Jalen Suggs, the local kid out of Gonzaga, if they add another upper echelon draft pick to the mix they already have, maybe they're not as far away as we think. I think it's tougher for the Wolves than it is for the Gophers, as competitive as the Big Ten is. Like, you should look at the Michigan and Michigan State recruiting classes over the next couple of years. And Underwood has Illinois just humming right now. Right? Wisconsin recruits a very specific player. They do a good job with that. Wisconsin is always going to be middle of the pack with a chance to jump up upper echelon of the conference. Fran McCaffrey has Iowa rolling right now, even though he's about to lose Bohannon and Garza. So the Big Ten, I get it, is uber competitive. It's not slowing down.
Right.
But I still think the right coach gets in here, hits on the right recruiting class or multiple recruiting classes, you can turn this thing around. And you're right. I vividly remember, even though it doesn't exist in the record books, I vividly remember being a senior in high school, the run, the 96-97 season, getting all the way to Indianapolis, getting to the Final Four. I vividly remember covering the Wolves making it to the Western Conference Finals, bowing out to the Lakers. To this day, like every time I run into Gary Trent Sr., to this day, he swears to me, if they hadn't suffered the injuries they suffered, that they were going to win the championship, that he really sincerely believes they were going to beat Kobe and Shaq and the Lakers, then beat, who was it? It would have been what? The Detroit Pistons in the finals. That they were going to win a championship.
I buy that second part.
I remember the block parties outside of, you know, Glick's in downtown Minneapolis.
Yep.
That street was shut down. Like,
the building was
such a buzz. There really was. So this can be that again. Mm-hmm. The number of kids participating in basketball is off the charts. Like, my son was fortunate enough to play fourth grade basketball during the season. His team actually just won a state championship. There were a lot of state champions, different tiers.
Congratulations.
His team won a state championship, yeah, over the weekend at the National Sports Center in Blaine. Just to see all the teams there, even though, you know, teams were shuffling in and out, a lot of people congregating in the parking lot, not allowed in because of COVID protocol. But just looking at all the kids participating this weekend, there are so many kids. It's cheaper, right, than hockey. There are just so many kids, and it's easier to find a court than it is ice time. There are so many kids. I'm not diminishing that this isn't the state of hockey. It is. That's a great marketing slogan. But, yeah, there are a ton of kids that play hockey. We produce more NHL players than just about any state. I get all that. But in terms of actual viewership TV-wise, in terms of participation numbers, and I just said it's easier to play basketball than hockey, but there are so many kids playing basketball. I'm just saying, Judd, you know, if the Gophers even win at just a medium level,
yes,
you know, get to the NCAA tournament. You know, Patino makes it twice in 8 years. Make it four times in 8 years. Every other year, that the fan base would really embrace that. And if you're the Wolves, you got to get really lucky, because this is never going to be a free agent destination. It only is if you overpay. Like, if you're the Atlanta Hawks last offseason and you're one of like three teams with cap space and you want to get a Danilo Gallinari and pay him 3 years, $60 million, yeah, the Wolves can attract a free agent that way, by just merely overpaying if they're like one of two teams with cap space. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the Wolves are not, they're not attracting free agents to come here. They're just not. They never will. Never is a strong statement. But anytime in the foreseeable future, I don't see it happening. But if they get lucky in the draft, I don't think that they're incredibly far away, that it's impossible to win here.
Speaking of the Wolves, Doogie, what is the current pressure on Gersan? Because this has certainly not gone as planned. He was trying to do, and is, I think, trying to do a very specific thing. And he came here looking, you know, fresh and full of vigor, and now he looks tired. What's the pressure there, especially with the dynamic of if it's true, which we talked about last week, that Glenn is reengaged in trying to sell, you know, you might have a guy buy the team or a conglomerate buy the team and come in and be like, we didn't hire you or you or you. You're all gone. What do you think the current pressure is on Gersan Rosas?
I think it's immense, but I think as long as Glenn Taylor is calling the shots, that he has a relatively long runway. Now, when I say that, I'm not suggesting 2 years out. Like, the pressure will be immense next year. But yeah, so last week, KG puts what he did on Instagram, that he, his group, are out of the mix to buy the Wolves. I capture that screenshot. I text Glenn. I've been trying to track down Glenn for weeks since he approved the firing of Ryan, because I know how hard that was for Glenn. So I was hoping to get Glenn on the record talking about how hard it was for him to finally come around to Gerson saying, hey, I need your approval to fire Ryan Saunders. Glenn never gets back to me. I text Glenn the KG screenshot. He calls me back, no joke, Judd, in 5 minutes. My phone rings. Glenn Taylor. He tells me, he goes, you can quote me on this. I haven't talked to KG, which isn't a surprise.
Right.
Glenn and KG aren't talking anytime soon.
Yep.
But nor have I talked to anybody associated with KG, or at least anybody that said that they're a group associated with KG. So Glenn goes, I'm baffled. I have no idea what KG is talking about. So then Glenn and I start talking. I, you know, try to convince Glenn to record a podcast. He said he politely declined, respectfully declined, but said he'll hop back on the podcast at some point in the near future. But last week wasn't that day, but we talked for about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he ended up telling me there's over 10 groups, over 10 parties that are still talking to him, engaged in the sale process. There's a few still doing all sorts of due diligence. And he told me that the possibility does exist. This is a different tone than what he told me in December about. He thinks that there was a realistic chance then that a year from now, so that would be Christmas 2021, that he would still be the majority owner.
Yep.
He told me last week that possibility, you know, is there, that he ends up finding a willing partner or multiple partners, that he is no longer the majority owner. You know, it would take a little while, but, you know, in the coming months, that there is a new majority owner. Now, I still think if that happens, Glenn is going to end up retaining some sliver of ownership. Maybe it's 15% or 20%.
But not control.
But that doesn't mean he's got control. Correct. Right. He's not calling the shot. So that's where the pressure ramps up if you're Gerson. You know, when, and I still think it's when, not if, with Glenn now, what, either approaching 80 years old or he just turned 80, that Glenn realizes it's time. He's got the blessing from his family. There's no succession plan in place within the family. So it's on Glenn to sell to somebody that hopefully keeps the team here, doesn't pay the $50 million to break the Target Center lease to move the team to Vegas or Seattle. So that takes some homework, but sell to somebody. And yeah, then that person or that group can then decide the future of Gerson Rosas, you know? So I still think there would be some sort of leash there. Like, let's say there's a new owner in place, a new majority owner in place by May or June. Mm-hmm. I don't think that person is then firing Gerson July 4th or the end of July. I think there would be some sort of runway, but that just ramps up the pressure for next year. Like if they don't make meaningful progress next year, I think there would be wholesale changes.
And with Cat too, the problem there is, Dugues, I can't figure out, like, I like him. He's a good player, very good player. And when he's playing well, he's fantastic. But with Cat, what I can't figure out is what his exact role is going to be, both from a personality standpoint and a playing standpoint. And so if I'm the Wolves, what I'm very concerned about now is I can pay all of the lip service I want, and I probably should, to how important Cat is to my team. But the more I watch this team, and I've texted you consistently throughout, well, I become Mr. Basketball, okay? I really don't know what role Cat wants to play. Like, sometimes I feel like he wants the role, and then sometimes I feel like he's going to defer no matter what. And that really, that right there is the problem, because if I'm going to build the rest of the team around him, I need to know his exact role on that team. And personally, from having seen a ton of bad basketball games this season, I don't know what it is at this point.
I think he wants to be 1A, Judd. I think he wants to be the alpha.
It doesn't act like it consistently.
I know. Well, it's been such a weird year.
True.
Right? With all the personal turmoil.
But has he ever acted like it consistently? Like, there have been games he has, for sure.
I think he hears the noise that the only time he has made the playoffs is when Jimmy Butler was here.
Mm-hmm.
That once in 6 years, that he's not capable of being the alpha on a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to be said about that, but he's heard that chatter, and I think it motivates him to say, bleep you, like, I can be the alpha on a really good team. I talked one-on-one with Chris Finch last week, you know, getting to know him, and I tossed that question his way. I said, hey, do you believe? Now, I didn't expect him to say no, but I said, Chris, you know, do you feel like Cat can be the alpha on a really good team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he talked about working with, you know, good big men over the years, including Nikola Jokic in Denver, that he feels like Cat has the skill set. You know, and heck, like Jokic is the 1A in Denver, but Jamal Murray at this point is like a clear-cut 1B. Like, there's not a whole lot of separation, even though Jokic, you know, is top three, top four right now for MVP. I mean, the numbers he's put up are off the charts. But Jamal Murray has taken that significant step up going back to last year's performance in the bubble. And it's, you know, been a little bit of a roller coaster this year for Jamal. But Jamal is really, really good. Like, the Wolves don't have Jamal Murray to complement Karl Anthony Towns.
Right.
John Calipari told the Wolves to draft Jamal Murray, but Tom Thibodeau went the Chris Dunn route instead. So he was staring them in the face. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just another reminder. But but that's where, like, you pray that Anthony Edwards has that in him to ascend to being Cat's Robin. I don't think it's D'Angelo Russell. I'm sure deep down Cat would love for it to be D'Angelo Russell. I don't see it, Judd. I think the 1 year that he helped Brooklyn rebound from an 8-18 start to finish over 500, I think it was 42-40. They ascended as high as the sixth seed, made the playoffs. I think that was a mirage. I'm not saying that D'Angelo Russell can't help a team. I still think there's elite shot making and shot creating there. I just don't know how much playmaking there is now. Chris Finch believes there's a lot more playmaking in D'Angelo's game, and we know that he's a sieve on defense. I just don't think if D'Angelo is the 1B, you're going anywhere. But the hope would be it's either Edwards or they land a top three pick this year with the 40% chance that they don't end up giving the pick to Golden State, pick four or below.
They're getting the fourth
going
pick.
Back to the Wiggins-Russell trade.
They're getting the fourth
that
pick.
That they end up hitting on a really good player, you know, later this summer, you know. But I think it motivates Cat. I do. But do I think they're going anywhere with Cat as the alpha? I don't, Judd. He's got, 3 years left in his contract after this? The clock is ticking. Like, if you were ever going to maximize his trade value, it probably would be after this year. 3 years left in his deal. It's not a rich free agent class after all these guys have re-signed, right? Like, we thought Giannis might be a free agent this summer. He's not. Mm-hmm. There's other guys that we thought would hit free agency this summer. They're not going to. Like, now would be the time. Now, do I think the Wolves are close to entertaining that idea? I don't, but I'm just saying I would be open-minded at least. It would come down to what teams are offering. Like, I can just tell you here, you know, scoop sake, like, the Dallas Mavericks would have all sorts of interest in acquiring Cat.
Reckless speculation.
Go ahead.
Phoenix would too.
Yep.
You know, there's other reports out there about the Knicks. Now, Leon Rose is his former agent. Now, Tibbs is the coach, but Leon is his guy.
Yep.
You know, you've got...
He played for Tibbs, you think?
Somebody tossed out Miami. Like, how crazy would that be with Jimmy down there?
Well, hold on
there?
A second. But could Cat play for Tibbs now?
Yeah, I think now that he knows what to expect and being that close to home and with Leon being there in charge, like, Leon Rose is Cat's guy. He is. So I think there would be enough comfort there.
Wow.
You know, and the Knicks have a bunch of young assets. They have some future draft picks going back to the Porzingis trade. You know, so the Knicks could put together an enticing package. I mean, so could other teams. I mean, I just named, you know, three with other scuttlebutt suggesting Miami. I don't know about Miami. But like Phoenix has, you know, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, they have future draft picks. Dallas, you'd probably have to take Porzingis. I don't know how enticing that would be, but, you know, Dallas maybe could involve another team. You're not getting Doncic, of course, but there would be, like, if the Wolves ended up getting to that point, it would have to get to the point of Cat requesting a trade.
Sure.
Then the Wolves shopping him. The Wolves are not going to just shop him. It would have to be Cat, you know, requesting out, but if it ever came to that, my point is, Judd, I think a lot of teams would come calling. Like, there would be, even though he's only made one All-Star team, he's only made one All-NBA team in 6 years, mm-hmm. and I don't think he's making All-NBA this year, right? So I think we can talk about 6 years, not making All-NBA more than once, but there would be a ton of interest in him. There just would be.
Final scoops. Throw some more our way.
Well, talks are ongoing with the Byron Buxton camp, the Jose Barrios camp on an extension. the Twins would love to get something done. Like, they offered Buxton 2-3 years ago. Like, these talks have been ongoing.
Yeah, I know.
For a really long time. Same with Berríos. Like,
you've been talking about him for 3 years.
Look at the Kepler deal. Look at the Polanco deal.
Yes.
Those are team-friendly contracts. The Twins would love to do a team-friendly contract.
Yes, they would.
With Buxton or Berríos. You know, but those talks are ongoing. I would have found a way to bring back Jake Odorizzi. It's not like he broke the bank with that Astros contract. I still think there's a lot of 2019 Odorizzi in there. I think that's a really shrewd move by the Astros. But even after many talks with his agent, the Twins were just not engaged in the end on trying to find a way to bring back Odo, who loved it here. Loved playing for Rocco Baldelli. Loved working with pitching coach Wes Johnson. Like, Jake Odorizzi sincerely loved it here. Like, I couldn't hop on an Odorizzi Zoom.
Yeah, Royce told us about that.
Of Patino, but yeah. I got a text message from Twins PR that Jake requested a Zoom session with Twins media to pretty much say goodbye. It just happened about an hour ago. I don't know what he said, because, again, I was on the Gopher Basketball Zoom at the same exact time. But, like, classy guy, and I just think last year there were so many injury hiccups. I think there's a lot of 2019 still in Odorizzi, so I wish him all the best. On the Vikings, they're just – it's wait and see. Like, the Dak Prescott contract suggests that Jerry Jones knows these monster TV deals are coming, that the cap is going to go up. I don't know how high it's going to go up. So we just
– In 22.
We wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 22, not in 21. But even in 21, does it go up to 185? You know, we know the floor is 180.
183 is my guess. Yeah.
Could it go as high as 185? Maybe it ends up at 183. But the Vikings are still waiting for full clarity on that. It is ridiculous that free agency starts in 6 days. You can legally tamper in 6 days.
Yep.
Yet these teams don't know exactly what the salary cap will be. But I foresee more, at least one more cap casualty type move. You know, so stay tuned. I mean, it's going to be a busy week. Rick Spielman right now is at Northwestern Pro Day. He's hit the road. So he's in Evanston. He's expected to hit the Madison Pro Day, the University of Wisconsin. I think that's tomorrow or later in the week. Mm-hmm. Then Friday is the North Dakota State Pro Day. Trey Lance, but don't sleep on offensive lineman from Becker High School, Dylan Raddins. Dylan Raddins, remember that name. He is a good scheme fit for the Vikings offensive line. I would love to see the Vikings find a way to get Dylan Raddins. So the expectation is Spielman hits a few other stops later this week in addition to today at Northwestern.
Great stuff, sir. Bonus scoops on Tuesdays now. It's a new and improved and more Doogie. And Doogie, you always bring it, and we appreciate that. We'll talk to you on Mackey and Judd for a normal scoop session on Thursday's show, okay?
You got it. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday morning. Always appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dukes. That is the bonus scoop. We'll talk to you later.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.